Unrehearsed interview with Mr. Cecil McCarthy of Maeslick, Kentucky, on June 19, 1987. The interviewer is Lynn David.
Well, I won't tell if you're or not.
I won't laugh. I promise I don't laugh.
That's not a very, not, it's an interesting story. It would be to me, but it wasn't to anybody else.
Come over closer.
No, you can't hear.
You want to get in there?
That's higher back. You want me to help you with it?
No, I don't want to upset your car. But I don't want to miss anything, because I think it's going to be interesting.
No, it isn't interesting. My father told me this story. Most people don't believe me, but I think it's the truth, because he told it to me. You see the McCarthy jar?
The blue one on the, by the fireplace?
The big one, the 6-gallon.
Mm-hmm.
I was offered $1,000 for that the other day.
I wouldn't take it.
McCarthy jar.
Why is it called the McCarthy jar?
Because it's got G.A. and McCarthy and brother. G.E. or something and McCarthy and brother on it.
Oh, the big one, I see.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's G.A. McCarthy. Maybe G.A. and J.E. McCarthy. They're marketable both ways. And I had made a picture for me. I would like to ask him for a picture of it.
Is this a picture of the jar?
Mm-hmm. Picture of the one I sold him, one he took. He offered $1,000 for the lamb, and that's what he picked.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's prettier than it really was. It wasn't that pretty. I don't know how he got such a bright color to it.
That's almost a picture. Did it have a handle on it?
Handle's on the back side.
And it says A. J. E. McCarthy, Maysville. What kind of a company did they have in Maysville?
The China stuff.
China stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this your father or grandfather?
It's my grandfather's brothers. My grandfather followed the carpenter tree. He's a carpenter. Built barns all over the country.
What a beautiful blue.
I think it's prettier than it really was. It was more of a blue like that one, very much like that one, but it's darker than that picture shows. I don't know how you got it so bright.
So what was the story your dad told you?
Well, what I was going to tell you about the picture is that some people think it's a picture that belonged to a picture and washboat ship that's in a washdown. But we're not sure about that.
Well, I could.
Could be. I never did see one, did you?
I haven't.
Not that color, but I haven't seen too many washboats.
All I ever saw was white or something, cream color or something to that effect, but most of them are white.
Mm-hmm. Our painted flowers on them are white.
Yeah.
The dark
shades. Yeah. I don't know why that is. Showed up so well in the picture. It shows you made the picture.
That's not sitting on the floor, isn't it?
I believe it might be. I don't know.
It's a bigger picture than I thought it was.
It's about a 2-gallon, mm-hmm. not a gallon and a half, 2-gallon size.
Could be washable picture.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where it is.
Did they make their own?
No, they bought their pottery. Most everything I think they sold was what the term Ohio River pottery, I think it was. But the China work, they got it from Ireland or England or somewhere. They made trips over there and be gone 6 months, so they said.
What was High River?
Ohio River Pottery.
Oh, Ohio River Pottery.
Mm-hmm.
I misunderstood.
That's what they call this pottery through here, I think. Mm-hmm. It's Ohio River Pottery.
But your dad, you say, was a carpenter?
No, my grandfather.
Grandfather.
And a farmer.
What was your grandfather's name? Do you know?
Grandpa Elliot Key. Alexander Key was his name. Alexander Key McCarthy.
Was he from around here?
Oh, yes. He was raised in Murfreesboro. These folks were raised down below Murfreesboro somewhere on a farm. I don't know just where it was exactly. But Hazel and I was going to take a trip down that way. Did you get it?
No. Well, maybe you can take it for you and Hazel. You said you knew a story that nobody believed. What was it?
I got some medicine for this trouble. I'm afraid to take it.
Well, maybe something. It doesn't hurt to take it once in a while.
Maybe. No, I don't know. It's a barbiturate. Barbiturate or something.
You know, I...
Maybe from where it got its name. And I tried to tell two or three people this, and they laughed at me, so I didn't tell it anymore. But my father told this story, and he was born in 1866, my father was, and this store started sometime in the 80s or 90s, I'm not sure just when they started this China store. I don't know how long they run it, I never heard that. But anyway, it's where the beehive is where they did run it, as I understand. And so they had everything going down there pretty good, and the bees on the farm was needing attention, and so they didn't know what to do with them, couldn't find anybody to take care of them. And they had a lot of them. They had a wagon load or more, a big wagon load, that's why I understand the hives. And so they sent them out there and got them and brought them back and put them up overhead at the beehive.
At the store?
And they begin stinging people, of course, when they come out in the summertime. So they had to get rid of them, but that's where the name beehive came from.
Now, where is that, the beehive? I don't...
You know Murray's Brothers' old place of business?
The corner store where they had the 10-cent store.
Okay, and put them up there.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's they had a store in Frenchburg called Beehive at the turn of the century.
Well, there's a lot of places called that. They all said it's just because people congregated there a lot. Because they dealt there a lot. Had a lot of people coming and going, but he said that wasn't the reason for that place. Because it was a beehive.
You know, I agree with you. I was in a home 2 days ago, Betty D. Lotel's house,
mm-hmm.
and when they went up there, there was one room in that house where two bricks were missing. And there were old hives in the room of that house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the family kept their bees. We're not outside like we think about it. So I expect I don't think that's such a tall tale. That was probably fairly mm-hmm. common. It was easier to take care of them.
I'm pretty sure it's a true story. My daddy went too.
Yeah.
You couldn't make up one. Didn't have any education whatsoever.
What was your dad's name?
George.
So...
I thought it was George Williams, G.W., but it wasn't. It's George White.
Oh.
Some of our people were Whites. I don't know which ones, but some of them.
What was your mom's name?
She was Clara Brooking. She was a Brooking.
Were the Brookings from around here?
They were Brighton County people.
Do you remember your grandparents?
I remember Grandpa McCarthy. That's the only one.
What do you remember about him?
Just an old man, stayed in bed for the last 4 or 5 years of his life. I don't know how long exactly, but a long time. And I had to take care of him. He was just a bad, bedfast patient. He lived to be 91. About all I know about him.
So you didn't really have that much to do with your grandfather?
No, I never was around him much.
Did your dad ever tell you stories about growing up?
No, I haven't heard anything like that.
Now, this home that you live in, was this a family home? Or?
It was, but it's not my family. It's my wife's family.
And what was your wife's name?
Isabel Darnell.
Okay, so the Darnells are an old family here in Maeslick. The Darnell Hotel, was that?
There were some of them, but I don't know just what kin they were. Not very close or anything. Some family.
How old is this house? Do you have any idea?
Nobody knows. No record of it in the work at the time. This is log, this part of it.
This front room is log. Mm-hmm.
The minister, I don't know what minister it was. Some minister at Maeslick came out here one time and talked to me about it. Said he made a study of old log homes, and this one was one of the few that's two-story. He said not very many of them are two-story. Mm-hmm. Most of them are story and a half. This one's a full two-story. Used to be a petition 30 years.
Right where the front door is now?
Uh-huh. Just back of the door here. This is another room back here. Upstairs the same way. But there is a partition upstairs. There's two rooms up there.
So,
you know why the doors are opposite?
Uh-uh.
What?
I bet you do know.
No.
Yeah.
I wondered why. What can we?
Did you show them?
Yeah, what?
Well, they see there wasn't anything out this way, and they could hook a ox to a U-log, I mean a back log, and pull it up here and take the can hooks and roll them in there.
So the oxen could come right up between them?
Hmm?
So the oxen could come right up?
Yeah, come in that, in this door and out that one, I suppose.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That's what they told me, Ms. Donald told me that.
Now that fireplace then was much larger.
Oh, yes, it was a rock. Mm-hmm. We got a picture somewhere of it, I don't know just where it is, but it was a rock, very big rock thing. And Mr. Darnell had the torn out and had the bricks put in it.
Well, we didn't have logs like that.
No. Might have had the logs, but we didn't use them.
How long did a log like that burn?
Oh, a week or more, I think. Well, I understand. It lasted a long time. The green, they used to put them in green. Mm-hmm. This fire just burned against them, you know. Kind of used them for a back log, so to speak, and that's what they were. And kind of. They lasted a long time, what I can understand about them. I'll tell you the truth, I never saw one in a fireplace itself. Now, the Herndons used their fireplace as long as they lived out there.
Lived where?
With the old Herndon home. That's my brother's wife's people.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I don't know why they did, but they did. They had everything going with it, too. All the things went hanging, swing out, and pots and pans.
They
and
had all the works.
Had all the works there. Uh-huh.
They never used any of it.
Yeah, they used it every day.
Oh, did they?
Cooked all that?
Well, not too much cooking, but Mrs. Herndon always had a kettle of boiling water in that thing when the fire was going. She always had water there, hot water.
I have an old record book of the Herndon house. Was this the same Herndons we're talking about, the same family?
This is Ned Herndon. I don't know what. What was his wife? The one you was talking about. I don't know any other Herndons. That's the only family of Herndons I ever heard of, except I think.
Where was that house?
You know, you go out like you're going on out to Sardis Pike and get out there a piece. There's a road that takes off across the bridge to your left. You go up there just a little piece and then turn your right up that old road.
Well, now there's a this old Sardis Pike comes back this way. And there's a house up on the hill, an old brick house, real old one. And somebody told me that was one of the older houses around. And I don't know where I got that in my mind, that was Herndon.
Herndon's house is not brick, I don't think.
It isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still standing?
Mm-hmm. I think so. That's the last I heard of it.
Do you know who's living there now?
No, I don't. I just can't tell you. No. Whether anybody's living there or not. I just don't know. They failed till they finally did, I think. To Hazel, he's had a fourth interest in it or something, I believe. And the little girl that got the things that Ruth and Jeanette had, what was her name? I can't call her name now. She's got an awful lot of money off of them. Just left it to her. They left it to Jeanette. Left it to Ruth, and Ruth left everything she had to this girl. And of course, when Jeanette died, Ruth got a lot of Jeanette's stuff and went to this girl. And she spent it about as fast as she could get a hold of it. Hadn't spent the farm yet, because I don't think she got a hold of the farm yet, but she did on that. She's a strange kid. She had $50,000-$60,000 come to her. Didn't save a penny of it to save, I don't know.
Now, you've spent all your life around Mays Lake, haven't you?
Well, in Murfreesboro. I was raised over Murfreesboro. Been here ever since I married in 1934. But before then, I was raised at Murfreesboro. You might say we're on the old Sardis Pike together. They moved to the Sardis Pike in 1925, I believe. I'm about 21 years old, I guess, when they come over.
And you said, though, you went to school here in Mays Lick.
Yeah. I rode horseback and drove a buggy together from Murfreesboro.
So you had quite a ways to go every day then,
yeah,
didn't you?
About 3.5-4 miles. 3.5 miles, 4 miles.
Did you start school in Mays Lick, or?
No, I started in Murfreesboro. I was in the fifth grade, in Mays Lick.
Was there a big school in Murfreesville or just a small one?
Just a little country, eighth grade school, country school. Two rooms, I think.
Remember any of your teachers that you had over there?
Miss Fanny Whittington was my first teacher. No, Miss Mary Crawford was my first teacher over there, but I don't remember much about her. I remember Miss Fanny Whittington. I think I was in the third grade being married.
What was it like going in a small school like that? Most of our kids have never, I never have, my children haven't.
Well,
was there a lot of confusion or?
No. Not if you got a good teacher, then no confusion, they don't let. No, they didn't. They didn't have much confusion. Most of the teachers were probably strict. They just had you come up front for a class and the rest of them stayed in the back. They wasn't in the class. You've seen those kind of one-room schools in Fleming County, haven't you? You've been in Fleming County and seen a lot of those one-room schools.
Yeah.
This is, it just added the room to it after I got started, I think.
Well, what'd you do while, say you were in the back while the rest of them were having a class, what'd the rest of the kids do?
They just studied their lessons till their class time came.
Were they good about studying their lessons or did they goof off?
No, wasn't too much of that there.
They had the rod back then, didn't they?
That's right.
How long do you remember how long a school day lasted?
Well, not too different from what it is now. I don't think it might have been a little bit longer, but not much. No, I don't remember.
Now, in movies and things, you see children sharing desks. Did you share a desk with somebody else, or did you have your own desk to sit at?
Well, that might have been true at times. Usually you didn't have to because there wasn't too many kids mixed down there, but I expect the desks were shared quite a bit at times when the classes were, when the pools fall a year early. And then later on maybe more kids would come in. A lot of kids didn't come to school until after the crops were in. They stayed out, you know, hip with their back and corn and stuff like that. And they come in school for a few months.
How did a teacher cope with kids coming and going at different times? I would think it'd be awful hard for them to teach.
Well, you just had to cope with it, that's all. You couldn't send them home because they stayed out much. That is the headache. They just did that back in those days.
Did your parents have to pay tuition for you to go to school or buy your books?
No, I had to buy my books. Everybody had to furnish their own books in those days, back in that time. I never had any books furnished me.
When you were a boy growing up, did you have chores that you had to do around the house? Or?
Oh, yeah, yes, indeed. To eat a lot of times, I had to milk. I had to get the firewood in, the kindle and the coal. I worked when I was a kid and made a hand in the field after 11, 12 years old. But as much as I could do.
When you were about 11 or 12, then you were expected to do a man's work?
Pretty much so.
What did you kids like to do for fun when you didn't have chores?
Mm-hmm. We didn't have fun.
Didn't ever get play any games or fish or go hunting or?
Seldom ever, once in a while. I had an uncle who wanted to go fishing. He'd take me fishing once in a while. Not often. No.
Who was your uncle?
Joe Brooking, my brother's brother. He didn't live around here. He lived around Lexington somewhere.
Did you celebrate holidays when you were growing up?
Sunday and beyond. Christmas is something like that, but that's not no other holiday.
How did you celebrate Christmas?
Oh, my mother always had some kind of little Christmas tree for us and something on it. Not like you would now, I reckon, not too much different.
The decorations on your tree, did she make them or were they bought? Or?
No, she didn't buy much. We didn't have anything to buy with. We were poor as Job Strickland when we were growing up. Couldn't afford to spend that money for Christmas decorations. Well, it was pretty good about fixing up something to string up some popcorn or something.
Did you all get anything, Christmas gifts of any kind? Or?
Oh, yes, she gave something. But we didn't get much. We didn't have much Christmas gift to go on giving that time.
She fix a special meal for the holiday?
No. Mm-hmm.
What'd she usually fix?
Well, she'd have a turkey nearly every Christmas that she could, because she raised them and she'd have them. She'd have kind of food like that to go with him. My mother was a very active person. Wasn't very big, but she's almighty.
She had your number, huh?
And she was a good person. I don't think you could find a person more kind-hearted than she was. She was a very kind-hearted person. She knew how to take care of a home as well as she could under circumstances. She didn't have anything to take care of home with. We didn't.
When you say your mom was kind-hearted, how? Mm-hmm. What did she do?
Well, she take people in when they're down and out, and give them something to eat. And she always, we had an old family that lived on our place. It's part Indian, Dunk Hitch. I never thought about Hitch being an Indian name, but if you think about it, it is. Hitch is an Indian name. And after I found out that it's part Indian, then I understood why his name was Hitch. He had a right smart family, and Dunk was kind of a fellow that just took the world as it come easy, you know. He's a pretty good worker, but he didn't push things very much. Mother would have to fix up for him every once in a while and get him something to eat. They wouldn't have anything if she didn't.
Did your mother have much education?
No. 8th grade, yeah.
So she could read and write, though?
Oh, yeah, she could write as well as an 8th grade student could. She was, in those days, she probably went to school after you out of the 8th grade, I think. I had an Uncle Truman Brooking, he did that, I think. I think he studied Latin when he was in the 8th grade, and there were some of the teachers that had taken Latin, you know. And they have three or four kids that they teach extra year, maybe. But still, it's 8th grade, that's all they are, as far as they went. And he was kind of a little extra student for some reason, I don't know why.
Now, I know that there were the two brothers. Were there any other children in your family? Just the two boys?
Well, I heard, I think I'm right.
Did your mother attend church very regularly, or?
Yeah, she was pretty much a church woman. She liked to go to church, but we didn't when I was growing up very much. There's a Presbyterian church at Murfreesboro. My mother was a member of it.
Was your father?
No, he didn't. He joined later in life, made his lick here, but he never went to church much. He was a church man.
Did your mother try to see that you boys went to Sunday school,
yeah,
or church?
Yeah, she understood and helped us to get ready to go over here. And it's about a mile to walk. And we walked it anyway. Went down to Methodist Church. The Presbyterian Church, I think, had given out down there before I come along. I don't know, just, you never heard anything about Murfreesboro Presbyterian Church, did you? I don't think it's there when you come to this section.
Did your mom ever tell you any stories about her growing up, or
no.
Or about her family?
No. Only thing I ever heard her say was that her father was in the war, the Civil War. He was not a rebel, but what do you call it?
Union?
Union, yeah. He was a Union soldier. She never talked much about it. I guess he didn't either, the way she talked. My grandmother and grandfather, her mother and father died when she was 12 and 13 years old. One of them died just 12, one of them was just 13. We had my grandmother say.
Who raised her then?
Well, she was thrown around from pillar to post, as the saying is. Her brother, Truman Brooking, is the one that took more care of her, I guess, than anybody. But her grandmother was living, too. Grandmother Comes to my mind once in a while, but I can't think of it right now. I don't know what was her name. She was an old German woman, I think. My mother thought she was German anyway, but she wasn't.
So she took your mother then, some?
Well, yeah, she lived with her for a while, I think. Mm-hmm.
She'd ever say why her parents died, or what caused her death? Or?
Well, I think her mother might have had TB, I don't know. But she always thought that her father died with a strep throat because it's more like that than anything else. It was a wheat thrashing time, and he was thrashing wheat, and they thought he got a wheat beard in his throat, but she's satisfied now with strep throat. More like that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Nobody ever heard of strep throat back then. Didn't know what it was.
Or how to cure it.
Didn't have any antibiotics that she was going on. Don't think antibiotics didn't come around until I come around.
Yeah.
I think most antibiotics been developed in my lifetime.
You said you when you got married. What year did you get married in?
What year?
Uh huh.
34.
And that's when you moved to Maze Lick?
No, that's when I moved here. I come here when I got married. Yeah. In 1934, August 22nd, I won't forget that.
You said I always heard it was such a pretty wedding, wasn't it? A garden wedding.
Uh-huh. Were you married at this house?
Married at this back door, back step back here.
That's that garden wedding.
Mm-hmm. So big crowd showed up, I assume.
Good many friends. I had a lot of relatives living in that came. Of course, Isabel had a world of friends that they'd come to. She had a lot of friends.
Living around Maze Lick, I'm sure you've heard a lot of old timers talking about the town itself. Have you noticed a lot of changes since?
Yes and no. I don't remember what the changes are. Yeah, there's changes, of course. I never knew too much about Maze Lick when I was living until I married, because I never went around Maze Lick only for school. Never went uptown much.
You ever remember any of the people that used to live here when you were first married?
That were lived here?
Lived in the area. People that you remember for one reason or another that stand out.
No. It's anything to do with it.
Any characters?
Hensley Hawkins was a character.
Who was?
Hensley Hawkins. He used to live, he owned this farm down here. His grandsons live there now. Hensley Hawkins was an auctioneer, and he was a great character, all right, because everybody liked him, I think. He was a good auctioneer.
That was Mae Watson's relative, wasn't it? What was it, her father?
Her grandfather.
Grandfather. Mm-hmm. Do you know him very well?
Well, about as well as I know anybody just casually met. Not too well, but I'm good. Everybody knew him.
Was he flamboyant?
No, he was very flamboyant, if that's the word. Yeah.
Was that his dress or his manner or what?
His manner, more than anything else.
What'd he do?
He's an auctioneer. And that's what he did. And did it well.
Did you ever hear any stories about Indians around Maze Lick or around Murfreesville? I know you said there was a family named Hitch.
He was just part Indian. No, I never heard of any. Well, I think they did come into the Maze Lick there once, didn't they? I just don't remember what it was. I've heard them carrying off anybody or anything of that kind.
What was it like in this area during Prohibition? Did Prohibition take effect in this area, or did people defy it?
Well, there's a world of whiskey made during Prohibition. Nearly every spring in the country had a spill by it. One that we used used to live, they lived at Leaf Creek or when we, well, they still own the farm over there. They didn't, I didn't. But there was a little spring that just didn't seem like it could go dry for years and years and years when we were working in the bottoms over at Leaf Creek. We'd go over to this spring to eat our dinner. And somebody set up a still over there in the briar patch.
Do you know who had the still?
Yeah, who had it?
Did you ever sample any of it?
No, I don't drink. Never did.
Used to be a lot of business in Mays Lick.
Yes.
Do you remember any of the businesses that were around?
No, there used to be barbershops. I don't remember anything different from what it is now. About the same, I guess. Maybe you have to do it in a different place. But there's been a store where the store on the corner there where you was this morning. Been a store there for years on end. I don't know just how long, but a long, long time.
Do you remember who owned Mason's before?
Well, Collins has owned it one time. It was Guy Collins. They had a store there when I first didn't remember of them.
Did you know Di Collins?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did, I knew.
What kind of a person was he? I've heard...
Good businessman. All right. I don't think there's a nicer man anywhere than Mr. Di Collins was.
Wasn't he in partnership with somebody or not?
Mm-hmm.
Was he in partnership with somebody or...
Oh, I think maybe the family was, but I don't know. Wasn't he not he?
Mr. Dad, wasn't there somebody else in the store?
Isn't he like this somewhere?
Collins, and was it Mr. Collins?
Was it Disher? Disher wasn't in with him, was he? No, I don't think Disher was in. Disher was in with somebody else, I don't know.
What was that store like when Mr. Collins had it? I'm sure it was different than it is today. Did he?
Not too much.
Did he carry a lot of goods or anything?
Yes, he did. He's a big storekeeper. And one of the main ones in the community.
What all could you buy in there?
Oh, anything you could buy in a country store. I don't know. I guess he even had yard goods, didn't he? I think he did. Groceries of all kinds. Just a country store, general country store, and it had pretty well furnished. It had a lot of stuff.
Now, you farmed all your life, right?
Well, I think you can see that.
Did you do anything else besides farm?
Oh, I used to sell a little farm bureau and automobile insurance license. I couldn't sell much life, but sell automobile insurance. Stuff of that kind, just on the sideline. But I never did anything to farm. That's all you can see.
I know outside of like we now have mechanized tractors and such, has farming really changed over the years?
Oh, my goodness. It used to be all horses. Used to be all horses. I don't remember the first tractor I ever saw. I remember the first car I ever really in.
What was that?
I think it might have been a Ford, but I'm not sure what it was. To be true, it was an insurance man who came and took Dad and me a little ride in. And we went down Little Murfreesville and went through the bridge, and right at the other end of the bridge, there was a road turned down to go down the creek. There was no creek road, dirt road. And we went down there for some reason, I don't know why. And coming back, there's a right smart bank to climb up. Dad, I think, was a little bit leery of it, you know, what was going to go on. It went on up all right.
What'd you think of that automobile?
I just rode in it, that's all. I didn't think much about it. I didn't know anything about automobiles. I didn't know anything to think.
Did you ever think maybe you'd like to have one like that insurance man had?
No. That's all I could have done, just think about it.
Most of the boys around here, you said, went by horses. Were they, they take pretty good care? Did they try to outdo each other with their horses?
Oh,
or?
Yes, there'd be a race on the road every once in a while. Horse and buggy race or horse race on saddle on time, but not too much. That's a dangerous thing to do.
You never did anything like that?
I never aimed to.
Did you keep the buggy shined up when you went courting?
No. No, I mean, better than I do the car now. I never let people like
it. How'd you meet your wife?
Hmm?
How'd you meet your wife?
Well, that's very interesting. I wonder myself sometimes. She was a Presbyterian. My mother and brother and I went to Presbyterian church here at Mayslip, and we just met. And I can tell you, I don't know where we went, but we went somewhere on a wiener roast or something like that. Took our dinner out down, and she bought the beef or something. We had some kind of beef, what it is that you have, and cooked on in the stick, and made little sandwiches. That's where I met her. And that's where I asked her for my first date. I guess that's the one time ago.
Did she take to you right away, or did you have to work at it?
Well, I don't know what she did, but it wasn't too much work, I don't believe.
When did you propose to her then, or where? Do you remember?
Oh, it was a year or so. Yes, I do. As we were talking about the Hawkins, you know, where they live there about Mesley. And she used to want to go up there and see her Aunt Lid. I guess that's who it was. Let's see now. It was her Aunt Lid, Isabel's mother's sister, and I believe that's right, when we used to go up and see her, and so I asked her to marry me. The time we pulled down and then just stopped and talked a few minutes before we went in, and she said she'd think about it. Never forgot.
How long did she think about it?
Oh, not very long.
Imagine her mind was made up, but she had to tell you she was thinking about
yeah,
it.
That's right. That's what it was.
Did she give you the answer on the way home then?
No. Did it for a while. But
they must have kept you on pins and needles.
She didn't want to be too easily jerked up, I don't think.
How old was she when you?
She's 8 years older than me. That's a picture of her.
Oh, the one in the corner. Oh. She was a beautiful woman.
Bad looking.
Well, were you bad looking?
I don't know. Not any better than I am now. I thought it was good. I don't expect.
Well, you're a light, nice-looking gentleman now. No, you must have made a handsome couple.
No.
You don't think so, huh?
No. He used to talk like it was a great big wedding. I think he came with his parents.
Who did?
My husband.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
He once in a while he told me about it. Uh-huh. First garden wedding he ever saw, and he was highly impressed. And that was something for you. You should be impressed, young or old.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Have they always, or have you always farmed tobacco around here, or did you farm other things too?
I can tell. About all I did.
Has the methods of tobacco farming changed a lot? I mean, they still plant it the same way, or?
No, you said by hand. And I first remember the week for rain, said by hand.
Did they always make the seed beds where they planted?
They burned it.
They did what to it?
Burned the bed. Burned.
Don't they
clean
do
up
that?
The ground and burned the trash and burned it on the bed. And they got the bed in order and then just piled the stuff on and set a big fire in it. Well, a lot of people burned it with old fence rails. If they had them rotten, that would move the fence or something. Used a lot of things like that. Used to clean up the farm a lot. That's the reason why the farms have grown up so much now, is they don't clean them up like they used to.
That's why they used to get rid of their trash, so and improve their mm-hmm. tobacco beds.
It's the only way you can make a bed within was to burn it. You know, the weeds would take you. The tobacco plant's a slow growing thing when it first starts. Weeds are mighty bad.
Do you remember the Knight Riders at all?
I remember when they was going around, but I don't remember seeing them or anything like that.
You all never had any trouble with them?
No. The lawmakers had trouble with them, but I mean, we never did. That's our neighbor. We never had any trouble. We just didn't raise the packet. He did. The year they cut it out, I think.
You all just decided it wasn't worth it?
Well, we had no reason to be fighting a force as big as they were. You couldn't compete with 35, 40 farmers trying to keep you from raising the back of them. My dad didn't want to. He had some carpenter work he wanted to get done, such as fixing a house and work of that kind, and that's what he did.
Was he in sympathy with the Knight Riders?
Hmm?
Was he in sympathy with the Knight Riders?
No, not necessarily. I don't think he was, but he didn't get into that much like that. But I would say he was, maybe didn't object to tobacco wasn't worth much then. 8 cents a pound, 7 or 8 cents a pound is all you can get out of it.
Tobacco prices have really fluctuated though over the years, haven't they?
Yeah.
What do you think about the future of tobacco here? You think there is a future for it, or?
Well, I just heard a fellow express his opinion in the store, and that's and he said he thought tobacco would come back, but I don't know about it. I kind of feel like tobacco's over.
I think the good days are pretty well gone then.
Yeah. I asked him if he thought this country would, he was talking about setting peppers. He's trying to raise some peppers, this fellow. I asked him if he thought the country would be taken over by vegetables. He said, no. I said, tobacco will always be here. I said, you heard that talk all your life, haven't you? And I said, yes, I've heard talk against tobacco. First time I ever heard of it was when I went to Michigan for hay fever. And I took a little bunch of tobacco, a little leaf or two or something in a suitcase and gave it to the lady that were boarding room. And she was tickled to death to get it. She'd never seen it in that condition before. Just a green, I mean, a leaf of tobacco. She had some pliers and she put it in the vase with them. And that evening she had some company come in and one lady saw it and she saw that leaf and boy, she didn't rake her good. I sure had that, she couldn't understand. First time ever I heard anybody say anything about the back.
When was that?
Well, it was, let's see, I'd have to think back pretty hard to get that. Let's see now, it's, I can't think what happened to anything, but give me a date on it exactly.
Was it before you were married?
Oh, yeah.
Young man. Where'd you go up in Michigan?
Petoskey.
Oh, I know where Petoskey is.
Do you?
Uh-huh. Did you get a Petoskey rock?
Yes, sir. I think I have. I've got one or two out on my life.
Well, you ought to have Petoskey stones. They're really pretty. That was a pretty place to spend some time then.
Mm-hmm.
Was the person you boarded with, did you know him there?
Oh, no. Can't think of her name now. I think I've got Petoskey Rock. Let me see if I know the one right now.
Mary Lyda probably doesn't know what we're talking about.
Well, I'm curious.
You know, it's a game stone that the Indians used.
Well, I talked to Professor Webb a good deal about this stuff, and he's made a good study of it. I don't know what that is. That's anything I'm not interested in.
They're round, more or less, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they've been shaped, you see. Some of them are smaller than others.
You found this up on your brother's property?
Uh-huh. Most of those things were.
Old arrowheads?
Mm-hmm. This is a chisel that they made.
That's what they could do with things like that, too.
Mm-hmm. He said, what's the name, said he never come down here to feel that he didn't find a chisel. But a limestone chisel, when he said, well, that's not limestone, is it?
Doesn't look like limestone,
no, I think
does it?
Granite, I think. I think that's granite.
What professor were you talking to?
Webb. You're calling him Bullneck Webb. I know his first name.
You've got some arrowheads that you found. Mm-hmm. What's this old spur? That's.
Oh, that's just something picked up pretty near one.
But this piece of pottery that's incised with a design on it, and then you've got the handle too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lay that on anything. I don't want to. You
teeth off what?
It's a horn.
Is that a horn? Jewelry,
well, you've got a seashell there with two holes through it that they must have worn it. Wear it on their neck. This old knife that's in here, is it just, that's a bone-handled knife, isn't it?
I found that in the same place, but that's just the one in there. That's a drill point. So somebody can, that's what they put these holes in there.
This little, it looks like a little arrowhead, but it's a drill. Mm-hmm. You've picked up some beautiful pieces there.
I don't know what that could have been, and there's no idea.
It almost looks like a petrified nutshell, doesn't it?
Yes, that's so. Maybe it is.
Like a walnut shell that's been petrified.
I don't know. Now, these little fellows here, they're very, very delicate. I got 8 or 10 of them. And then, I mean,
were those bird points?
Well, they might call them that. But I don't know what they are. But they're pretty frail little things that break off leaves if you just look at them, wouldn't you? I found most of them in a field right over here by this barn.
What did they use them for?
Huh? What they use them for? How'd they use them to? Maybe just kill birds, I don't know.
Oh, for their arrowheads.
They're little arrowheads.
I didn't hear what you were talking about.
Yeah.
They said this. She was saying they were bird points. And mm-hmm. How could anybody make a thing out of it?
Oh, they're little things.
Yeah, see how hard it is. I mean, just to think about getting it through it and chipping that off there and then the thing is, why, you just touch that and break.
They probably lost a lot of them.
Oh, I imagine they didn't. Maybe they tried a lot of them they didn't have success with.
But I think this piece of pottery with a handle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful, that pottery.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Okay. You have to be a pretty good pottery maker.
Well, that looks like obsidian. This black one, doesn't it?
Maybe, I don't know.
It's been broken.
Yeah,
somebody must have worked pretty hard to make all of those. You never heard any stories about the Indians around here then?
No.
They were around just by looking at your box of things that you have.
This Webb's history of this is that they lived here about 500 years ago, and they lived here for about 500 years.
All these beautiful pieces. Probably threw them away like we throw TV trays away.
Mm-hmm.
There's another piece of incised.
Here's the cutest one. That's a little
handle. Bird.
Little handle.
Looks like they made a bird, doesn't it?
It is.
Little eagle.
Little bird and it stuck on the side of a thing like that. It's a handle. It's not the handle. It had him on there like that. Just
so he would sit on top of something else to pick it up with.
That's right. And I have another one somewhere in here if I can find it.
And you've just picked all this up right on the farms.
Oh, just. The only way you can get it.
A good ass to spot it.
Yeah, because a lot of it just look like old rocks.
Here it is. Picked up over at the Mercersville farm. That's the first piece I ever found. Down there in the Pike Field over at Mercersville farm.
That's just as smooth?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody spent a lot of hours. Now, what would that have been used for?
Well, it's a scraper of some kind, they think. Somebody did.
Somebody put a lot of time in on that to get that smooth.
This is a little one.
Feels good in your hand.
I found it here somewhere, I think.
If it had a hole in it, you could almost think of it as a weaving shuttle, couldn't you?
Might do that, I don't know.
I don't know what they used them for, but they're beautiful. They feel good in your hand.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hold it. It's just a smooth piece, tapered at one end, about an inch at the bottom and about 4 inches long.
This is a punch.
That's interesting how shiny it is.
This is a punch made out of an antler, isn't it?
Made out of a joint, bone.
A bone joint? With a sharp point at one end.
Another one here.
It's also smooth.
I don't know what happened to it now. I was just showing these to somebody the other day. I hope somebody didn't pick that up.
I hope they didn't either.
It's just exactly like that one that didn't have the heel broken off of it. See, that one's got broken off there. That's what made a handle, you know. See how that fits your hand? Mm-hmm. You can punch
holes
in.
This fits your hand, so uh-huh. I think you can scrape with it.
This would make a good worry, like a worry bead.
Yeah. They scraped hides with those things that came down. I don't know what they did with it.
How come you went to Petoskey then? Ooh, look at that tiny little one. Where did you ever hear of Petoskey to go there? I mean, it's not that well known.
That could get lost easily.
That's where the doctor sent me.
What doctor was that?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a local doctor around
yeah,
here?
It was, Washington, Mercersville. Mm-hmm. That's just showing as a little delicate thing.
Pretty sure those are bird points.
You know anything about the early doctors around here?
Just knew Dr. Pollock, knew Dr. Claypool.
Now, that, where was Dr. Claypool's office?
He was in Murfreesboro when I knew him.
Where the piano was a portrait of an older woman. Do you know?
She was a pretty lady.
Didn't you know her?
I knew her, but I only knew her in the
And that's some of the best people in the world. That's a painting.
That's an old painting, isn't it?
I didn't see her young.
Yeah, she was young then. I don't know. Just
this handiwork here?
No, it's handwork, but not American. It's Chinese. Look at that real closely.
I'm a relative newcomer, and that's when she was young. I didn't know her.
Mm-hmm. You have some, samplers hanging in the mm-hmm. living room also. Were those done by Isabel's family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're pretty old, those samples.
They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't keep them like that.
Yeah, I'm praying.
You say those two pieces come from China. Are they something that you acquired recently, or?
Well, they were given to us for wedding presents. Some lady went to China, and I think she was sent there maybe by the YWCA or something, I don't know what it was, something that kind though, and anyway, she found those things over there and she sent them back, and she said that there's some stitches in this that weren't made anymore because the law didn't allow them.
It's all done
by. The law didn't allow to make them anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't look at that closely. That's
well, they had any eyes left when they got through it.
Do you remember who gave them to you?
I didn't know the woman, but she's some kin to Isabel. That's all I know about.
Who's the lady back here in the portrait?
Well, that's some of Isabel's family, but I couldn't tell you.
Just sweet of you.
Should know who she is, but I don't.
Mitchell Matthews had a picture of my great grandmother that couldn't hear it under there, and he took it and had it cleaned, and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I didn't think much of it before, it all black and dark, yeah. And how pretty it cleaned up. She would be beautiful. She's got a sweet face.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. McCarthy, I thank you for letting me come this afternoon.
You haven't learned anything from me.
Yeah, I have. I really have.
I see my jar.